everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Dental Success Today Practice Profit Accelerator Podcast. The one and only Maestro, Mr. Scott Manning. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Kevin. Good to be here, everybody. Thanks for having me. And I'm fired up about these. Like I always say, it's like the halftime show, even though we do it a little bit about 30 or 40% into the month. It's really just a chance to reflect, to recenter, and just to double down. We also try to bring in some themes. So today we'll bring in a little theme that's super relevant that ties into the calendar, but it also is, you know, should be ties into the fabric of your life. So thanks for having me, Kevin. Let's do it.
I love that you referenced halftime because we're coming off of the big game as so many people watch, whether you got a team in the mix or not. And although I didn't watch it, I heard it was all very interesting from start to finish. And so where we find ourselves, of course, is we are in February, better known as the Month of Love. Most specifically for those people who need to be reminded to get some of it, unlike me, who I'm all about the love. Anyway, so I say let's lean into this and let's focus on how we can use our own love languages to be positively influential in the lives of our patients, our fellow team members, and of course, as you guys all know, goes far beyond that because this is all just about us as human beings. So stating the obvious here, the majority of people, I believe, revert to taking a negative viewpoint on all matters of life, regardless of what it is. And so how can we, as the professionals we are, the champions who we are, how can we reframe those conversations that we find ourselves in throughout the day in order to produce more welcomed outcomes, let's call them? So, Scott, why don't you take that baton and get us started here. I'm excited to have the discussion about love.
Well, who wouldn't, you know? You know, Kevin, there's, I guess the unlovable maybe, but so the thing is, there's a quote that I came across recently, and I honestly had never heard the quote. I've referenced it in a few trainings, but I spun it more towards the applicability of us. The quote said, okay, people can only accept the love they feel they deserve. And I think that's a beautiful quote because I think it's 100% exact. And love will bounce off somebody, even people who feel like maybe they don't have so much. It's really not that you're not getting it sent to you. It's just that you're oblivious or repellent of it. Okay? But even if, you know, maybe there is nobody, it's maybe because they tried and it didn't work out because there's no reciprocity or you're just an empty soul. So I think what I love about that quote is, stubborn effect, it's true. I think you can explain everything like this. I said patients only accept the health they believe they deserve. Again, it's 100% true. And so if people are accepting less, it's because we haven't built up the belief, the value, ultimately the deserve. And we've been teaching that concept for whatever, 20 years, about need, want, deserve, and that being the hierarchy. So I love the quote. So I'm going to do this. Three quick things, Kevin. Number one, I like that you said reframe. Everything we do is also reframe. We can have flashcards, and we can say on the phone when somebody says X, turn it over, flashcard, we say Y, okay? 100%, that's the key. So if it's insurance, if it's money, if it's cleaning, if it's comparison or second opinion or whatever, there's a reframe. It's basically people say this, we say that. It's a reframe. Everything we do is about, I call it elevating, you know, but whatever, educating the patient to a higher level of perspective. It's all reframe. And the other thing is that if we base our communication with patients on the bottom common denominator, meaning they know the least, compared to us at least, they know less than we know. So if we're approaching a patient down at their at the bottom level. Now, we have to have, which I'm stealing the punchline here, but we have to have empathy for where they are, but we don't leave them there, right? We elevate them up. That's what Kevin just said. That's what we're talking about reframing. From any negative or any perspective, period, negative or any perspective, the question is, how can you elevate through education this point? Now, I also call this like tactically, because I want to make sure I'm tactical today, because, you know, love is one of those things. Maybe it's not so tactical unless you do the verb issue of love, which is what everybody says it is, but yet very few do it. So number one, it is also, Kevin, about upgrading any situation, upgrading any person's opinion, upgrading. It's not one-upping them, but it's upgrading whatever it is. So, you know, the silliest example is, you know, we take an emergency patient on the phone who's going to blow up the schedule of all the compliant patients that are really making your practice mean something. And you say, well, no, instead, what's the backstory? How long you've been in pain? When's the last time you saw a doctor? Bam, what you really need is. And so we upgrade. But you can do that in every aspect. Oh, you really want to utilize your insurance. Fantastic. That's a really cool thing. I'm curious, though, you know, what's the purpose around that? I love to share with you our philosophy of how we can, okay, upgrade your health. You don't actually have to use the words upgrade, but and we can move more towards optimal versus, you know, reactive maintenance, you know, insurance. So everything we do is language-based influence, and it's all around expanding deserve level, reframing perspective, and elevating, upgrading circumstance and or person to something that we, you know, can get our hands around or have more, you know, more control over, you know, that's bluntly just more control over outcomes and facilitation. So the last thing I'll say, Kevin, is how you and I arrived at this and spun it to love is that one of our favorite books and one of the books we always recommend, you know, the old Five Languages of Love. It's a book that you can read it once, you have it forever, but you probably should revisit it. But the Five Languages of Love is obviously learning about how somebody receives but also delivers love. And it's not always the same, although if I deliver love in a certain way, it's often similar to how I receive it. And so I think I'm doing one hell of a job. And it's like, whoa, everybody knows I'm the best there is at the loving. And then somebody else, though, they receive and deliver love completely differently. And so they're thinking, what the hell? This guy doesn't show me any affection, no love at all. There's zero value or appreciation. And it's all because we're out of alignment. But we're saying our language, but we're not understanding the other person's language. And so the idea Kevin and I arrived at was, like, if it's instead of this, do that, you know, it's like, how can we create a more influential language? And it's taking a patient from where they are, or anybody, spouse, kids, friend, parent, anybody, any situation in your life that you want to be more influential of, you want to be the source for the things that we're going to tell you in just a minute, and it's very simple. So, Kevin, I'll fire all that back over to you, but just to try to give people the context of loving language, influential language is about expanding deserve level, you know, in focusing on reframing and then elevate and upgrade, you know, circumstance, you know, and the perspective so that people can make better decisions for themselves. And again, all of this is about moving away from negativity and moving towards, you know, positivity and the outcomes that we desire.
Yeah, I love it, Scott. And as you know, I speak often on the concept of agape love, which, you know, most people associate with religion, and it's simply not the case. Agape love in its most simplistic and beautiful form is simply that I want the best for all without due or judgment or, you know, having to earn it. And so what comes to mind as I was listening to you describe all that, and we could literally stop right there and there's so much value, is that it first begins with our intentions as humans. And so if you want to be more impactful, more influential, you want to be viewed a particular way, it begins with you. It begins with your intention. It begins with what it is that you want to give because what you give is ultimately what you give back. That is one of the old adages I believe to be true on a regular basis. You want someone to show you good things, well, you better show them good things. If you don't want people to treat you unkindly, well, you better not be unkind to them. You don't want people blaming you for things, well, you better not be blaming others. I mean, I could go on and on and on about this deal. And so where I went with that as I was listening to Scott go through these different examples is it brings up this concept that I have been speaking a lot about this year already, which is about meeting the person where they're at and then figuring out by being present, fully present, engaged and listening in order to then how can you elevate them using your word? How can you meet them where they're at? Get a basis and an understanding of why that is, and then find a pathway to bring them out of the current position they're in to a better, in this case, especially with patients, healthier state. Because that, using again yours, is upgrading them. Love. Upgrading equals love. And deserve is a big one. We use that word intentionally when we ask you guys to say it to people, not only patients, but also team members. You know, when we see a team member who's just struggling a little bit, lacking some confidence, or whatever the case is, it's important that they understand that they deserve the attention to get better. They deserve knowledge and education and all those kind of things in order to, you know, get better. And so what's coming to mind here, and then I turn it back over to you because I believe this is going to be the basis of what we'll share next, is love equals generosity. Mm. And if you're willing to be generous as a human, generous with time, generous with kindness, generous with understanding, generous with patience, I could go on. This isn't about money. But love equals generosity. God, I'm gonna leave that one for you to pick up.
Well, love equals generosity. Thank you, Kevin, and this great month. We just like Thanksgiving, we don't want it to be a day on a calendar or Valentine's Day. But we want you to, if you can weave gratitude and appreciation and thankfulness, and you can weave love, deserve, generosity in every single day, you know, bada bing, bada bang, you got it. Start the day with the loving affirmations and end the day with the, you know, grateful appreciations. So here's what I would just say, Kevin. I think that there's two, and we are going to go to those words, but there's two key things I just want to double down on. You cannot expect a patient to go to a greater place, your kids, your spouse, your anybody, if you are not first, you know, being empathetic with them, if you don't first understand. So I would use Kevin's generosity. I want to give credit where credit is due. There's a great couple of people, you know, practices that are just world class. Parker and Pennington Dentistry, and actually they use these words all the time as part of their culture. I'm sure it could be original because they do a lot of proprietary stuff, but it might be from other places. I don't know because they studied all the masters. But they use the words generosity and curiosity, and I think, you know, we kind of adopted that. It's kind of how we operate. It's who we are. You know, the greatest compliment I ever got was from somebody, you know, a long time ago, say, wow, Scott asked the craziest questions. Never stop asking the question. I say, well, first of all, knowledge is power if it's applied properly. And so I ask questions. I want to know the truth. I want to know the knowledge. But also I know that asking basic questions, that you're going to get superficial answers. You have to ask more curiosity-driven questions and really unpack it beneath the surface. So part of this is being genuinely interested, and this is when we talk every month, we say this, do not go through the motions. You have to be serious about diving as deep as you possibly can into, you know, the character of the patient, the who they are and what they're, where they're really at. Otherwise, you're never going to understand, you know, what level are they ready to receive? Not only when it comes to health, but investment, but even just trust and believability. And so this curiosity piece I would just add and piggyback on what Kevin said, genuine curiosity, is a form of helping the you know, understand where the patient is at. And then the loving, you know, the generosity piece of it after curiosity as well, and vice versa. So just don't forget that, because a lot of case acceptance is always lost, okay, in this nebulous place where we're just not really sure what the patient's mindset is. And we're talking over their heads, or we haven't fully, you know, gathered enough information to make them even, this is what we call in seven steps of the advanced training, selling the problem. Now, we actually are selling solutions, but the point is we have to open up the patient's mind first, okay, that there needs to be a solution for something. So I'm baking all this into this is just because a lot of times you think results are one thing, but it's really simply because the front end of the relationship was totally half-baked and you were just going through the motions on it. And so you never had that generosity. You never had that curiosity to even be able to have a real conversation with the patient. And this goes from the intake on the phone with the insurance. This goes from the implant or TMJ or sleep consult with the patient on the front end. This goes with the case development. This goes with the treat every patient like a new patient in hygiene. This absolutely goes with the triangle of trust, the clinical yes to the treatment coordinator, and ultimately to the presentation of treatment and the money. The patients may be saying something and you're taking it as a no or a stall or a lack of interest, and really it has nothing to do with that at all. It's just that you haven't made it personal enough for them by doing it. And so that to me is the place where every single person listening to this could go back to work and say, you know, am I present? Am I actively engaging? Am I really asking enough meaningful questions that will open a patient up to be ready to receive? And then am I pouring all I can onto them, you know, for their own benefit, not to get to the next step, not to close the case, not to do anything other than, you know, drive value and benefit to this patient. So that's the alignment between the patient and you, or any person in your life and you, is important, just like I'm talking about the alignment of the languages of love, and or simply being able to adapt and being aware if somebody is at a different place, a different level, you know, a different version of how they think of things. And the last thing I'll go down to is some people, you know, they want to save their teeth and avoid losing their teeth and avoid having dentures or implants someday. Some people want a beautiful smile makeover and to look completely transformed. I can sell the same solution to those two people, but it from two completely different angles. Okay, some people, they want to maintain a natural teeth, their holistic approach. You know, some people, they are, you know, more apt of the least intrusive treatments they have to do, the better. So you can almost get to the same result, but it's more from understanding the vantage point of the patient. And again, this all applies to relationships, like so much so it's not even funny. So Kevin, I'll throw it back to you, then eventually we'll finish here with these, not this but that, very simple mental, tricks in the mind.
Yeah, I love it. I just have a couple of comments to bridge the gap to where we'll wrap this up, and to continue in this spirit of love, of goodness, is love equals pace, not rushing through, not taking longer than necessary, being mindful of what is appropriate in the moment. Because it's very easy to rush someone through a conversation, rush a patient through a diagnosis, solutions, and all those kind of things, and not give them the respect that they deserve to be able to process it, discuss it, and get to a place of comfort knowing this newfound information that typically is unwelcomed. And they would prefer not to have to hear about it. So pace is a big deal too. And as we, you know, talk about this curious thing, it was one of the things that I used very early on in my entrepreneurial career, back when I had no idea what I was doing in my mid-20s, where since I didn't know exactly what to do, I just got into the habit of asking a lot of questions. It also took the spotlight off of me when I felt uncomfortable either not knowing, feeling like I knew enough, or I was in a room that was far beyond me, or whatever the case was. I just kept asking questions, pointing it back to the people. And then I would listen, and then I would respond using what people would say to me, and it ultimately became a very effective tool for me in building relationships, building them quickly, mostly in gaining trust and comfort with people. I'm still amazed today at how comfortable people become with me and what they're willing to share with me, and I believe it's because I take the time to be curious. I take the time to ask different questions they're not expecting or prepared for, and it shows thoughtfulness, and this works when talking with patients, especially patients who have been very challenging over the years and haven't committed to their health. We got to switch it up. We got to be curious. Where are they at? Why are they there? What could be different so that they made a different choice that's better, you know, for them in the long run? And so I just wanted to share those two specific things, Scott, because I believe that you just cannot drive those core principles home far enough that it's not complicated and that it all boils down to your presence in the moment and the intention that you bring, although we'll put some specifics to it now.
Thanks, Kevin. Such a wonderful point. And it is all human engagement. You know, people ask anything what we do, I always say, you know, we're just growing people, growing confidence, we're growing the ability to engage and influence the people. And we say every month, Kevin, we say, if you don't underestimate your superpowers and your ability to influence others, you're going to have a lot more impact. On the other hand, if you're insecure, if you lack confidence, or you don't have full conviction in the belief and value, and or, okay, you fall into just rushing and going through things, like Kevin said, I love that pace thing, and I would say, you know, I don't know that it says this in the Five Languages of Love book, but also I think of like rhythm, you know, in a relationship is like, okay, it's the end of the day. Somebody's got something to talk about, and, you know, somebody had a long day and they just want to get through it. And this is the first time the other person's getting your attention. You know, and so like we even have to take the pace and slow them down from the pace of life that they're used to. And by the way, the only place they want their ass to be is not in your chair. It's back in their car driving home, even though they made it here in the first place. So like you really do have to take a leadership role in this idea of bringing it all down to, because both sides are wanting to just punch through it. So Kevin, I'm just going to rep these off, and then, you know, obviously we have a call on every one of them. So, you know, Kevin and I work back and forth together to just kind of come up with these things. They're all stuff we've told you. 100% we would hope so. They're all things we've told you, but they're mantras that you need to get in your head. So instead of, you know, let's say negative, like what's wrong, you know, what can't be, what's the worst case, all these things, we want to think in what's right, what's positive, what can be, what's best case, you know, where do we go from here? Everything is about forward progress and positivity, okay? Next, we want you to think instead of denial, no, we don't take your insurance. Of course. What a wonderful thing. You got a little coupon to use, just like something you want to buy at the store. You're going to pay some money, but you got a coupon. It's great news. We have a lot of people with this here, and we're just excited for the fact that you want to invest in your health and take care of it. Now, the way we handle such things, because we're a relationship-based or concierge complete health practice, is that everything will be decided between you and the doctor. We'll be able to apply insurance to whatever. So the point is not denial, but affirming. And, you know, not what isn't possible, right? But what is possible and how can we help you? So it always, always comes back to that. You know, affirming is you're not a problem. There may be something circumstantial that is not so great. However, we're going to help that person through that. So affirmation, you know, may be the most powerful thing on the planet Earth, especially in a relationship. And also affirmation, which I'm going to skip one to jump down to the word we've been using, which is empathy. Affirmation shows empathy. It proves understanding. So we want not to be, I would say, sympathetic, but that is actually caring. So we would just say, don't be uncaring. Don't be unconcerned. Don't be, void of emotion when a patient shares something that's vulnerable or anyone in your life. instead be the nice, soft, comfortable cushion they can land on and express empathy and then decide where you're taking them next, right? You have to let that landing happen and let that person feel that comfort to be able to then comfort zone before discomfort zone, which both are important. And then, you know, I'll throw it back to Kevin, but one of the key words I've had, I'll let him do the last two. One of the key words I've been using all year long is sort of I always talk about bold, not bashful in the kickoff video last month, which, you know, not because I'm the hype man. I'm proud to be that. I've been called a lot worse things. So love to be the hype man. But I have to tell you, you know, like on these calls, Kevin's kind of the hype man for me. But I'm your hype man. I want to motivate you. And the video is probably a little over the top. But the key thing in there I talked about, getting your minds off of, you know, goals and minimums, not the, even the targets, but the potentials, thinking beyond the base and thinking potential. And the word I used, aside from not production but potential, okay, right, not procedures but potential, not prices but potential, all of it, just like visions, not visits, is aspirational. Everything needs to be aspirational. People want to move into an aspirational place. If you see a brighter future for them and you've worked on their deserve level, they're going to want to keep talking to you, okay? They are going to want to invest their money in a better future. Nobody wants to invest money in repairing the past. That's the last place they want to put their money because it's over with. They want to invest their money in building a better future. And so you want to strive to build your aspirational muscles with every conversation. You know, everything positive, affirming, you know, empathetic, and aspirational. And then Kevin's got the last two here as we round out the 2 minutes very quickly. We have to push this the next time. But I'll shut up and let Kevin go. Today was just a big, broad brainstorming, brushstrokes on loving, influential, motivating, you know, language, and just how much power there is in applying this five languages of love concept to the way you engage your patients and seeking more understanding through curiosity, generosity, deserve level, all the things. Kevin?
Yeah, thanks, Scott. And to drive the point home on the last couple of concepts, it's being hopeful versus someone who is hopeless. You know, I think of the conversations where it's like, oh, this always happens to me. Oh, I'll never be able to. Like, just completely defeated, hopeless. And it's our opportunity to flip it on the other script and say, patient, listen, you're not alone. Lots of people deal with this, and the good news is we know how to help you along with it. So we can create hope. People want to be hopeful. There's just too many sources that are entering their lives on a daily basis that just strip them away from that. And the other one, which ties in very nicely, is to be encouraging versus being discouraged. Most people come in life discouraged with that too, especially this is a big one when it comes around finances, when they're legitimate. And it can, someone can be completely discouraged. They want it so badly. This is a case where they want it so badly. They know that it could benefit them, yet they're discouraged because of the position that they're in financially. Well, we can still be encouraging and say, well, that's why I'm here, to help you figure this out. Let's customize this for you. Let's make this happen. You want it to happen bad enough, I'm going to work with you to make it happen. So we get to be hopeful and encouraging. And friends, the one thing that I just want to point out, and then we're going to wrap this up, is you also have to be mindful that giving of your love or being the opposite of it also applies in what you're bringing with your energy, your attention, all the nonverbals. Are you distracted when you're with somebody? Are you multitasking while you're with somebody? Are you not present? Because if that's the case, then you're not offering them any love at all. No attention, no love, no goodness. You're basically saying that you're not as important. So we have to be mindful of all of this, and we bring this up because this applies to every person, every conversation, every situation you find yourself in every day, so we cannot overemphasize it. And Scott and I bring it to you because we love you too. Scott, are you still with us? You want to say one last final word before
yeah,
I wrap this up?
I want to say one last thing. Thank you, Kevin. Such a beautiful stuff. Just remember, you know, if you avoid those certain words and you become the other words and you get muscle memory reflex, the next step is don't let anybody around you be that either. But I would just say, Kevin, take-home punchline, bottom line, end of storyline is apply this to every relationship in your life and make it yours, mesh with your personality, but grasp the principles, make it personable, but keep the principles and apply it to every relationship in your life. A number one, most of all, okay, with your greatest, best friend and highest value asset, which is called you, and that's the key. We are all either our own best friends or our own worst enemies, and it all comes down to the language and the conversation you have with yourself. So thank you so much, Kevin. You make everybody better. I agree with what you said earlier, and we appreciate you leading the way here on these and making them significant and helpful. Take care, everybody.
All right. Thanks, Scott, and thanks, everybody, for being here for the latest episode of the Dental Success Today Practice Profit Accelerator Podcast. Friends, go spread the love as we want the best for all. We'll talk to you soon.